the wear and tear of the equipment.
Yep, it's like these folks, which I've cut all contact with for, well, several reasons, but one of them being that was a straw that broke the camel's back as their oldest boy, well, second to oldest boy, likes to ride bikes with me. And he told me that, hey, Cody, I know of a great bike trail for you. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he's on the other side of the road, so maybe there is something back there that I'm missing. Because if you go down the road about a couple miles, and you go back up off a dirt road, you can walk up the backside of Yona through the Chattahoochee National Forest, I think it is. Anyways. Excuse me there. So, we get to riding, and he pulled off a little dirt patch on the side of the road. He's like, well, here's the trail. And I'm like, okay, this shouldn't be too bad. It's obviously not well cut, but it shouldn't be too bad. Well, I don't know exactly how far down I rode in, but I hit more tree limbs than I cared to keep up with. I actually hit the boys on the middle bar of the bike when I went over the handlebars from hitting a log down my front tire. I hopped over one of them, but the other one's kind of angled, and I couldn't get I hit it at the wrong line. Anyway, long story short, they got on ahead of me, left me out there in the woods to get back up to the road, and I'm like, first rule of mountain biking, if you're with a group, you wait till everybody's accounted for before you head out. And after that, I said, okay, folks. So after that, I came back to the house and just cut all contact with them because first they egged me, then they basically lied to me and said they had a bike that needed some basic repairs, and I went in there and looked at the thing and needed a complete overhaul. So, yeah, that was a, yeah. But anyway, them folks, I used to do bush hogging and used to work on their driveway for them too, and I'm like, nah, y'all are on your own now. Go get your lawnmower.
Anything going into the woods, you always stay together. KK4FTU. KK4HXB.
And they were gone so fast, by the time I finally made it back to the road and got back to their house, they was already kicked back eating ice cream and drinking sweet tea and just kicked back like they never went nowhere. And I'm like, says, really, y'all? Y'all just gonna leave me out in the woods and not wait for me to catch up? And then, of course, like, the older boy out of them, they're like, well, we told you it was a long walk back. I'm like, yeah, and I was fine with the walk. And then, they're remind me what they say, yeah, I'm fine with it. And I say, yeah, I was fine with the walk, but you just don't leave, you know, you just don't leave folks behind. Like, yay. Yeah, I have to realize how ignorant these folks were to proper etiquette and common sense of any kind of outdoors group gatherings or whatever. Yeah, I just cut ties and said I'm done with them. They can do their own thing. I ain't messing with them.
Things a lot safer for you and a lot cheaper, too.
Oh, may I tell you the biggest thing that drove me up a wall? A couple of years ago, their middle to youngest boy, named Ryder, he called me up and says, hey, Cody, I need you to come over here and help me make a food plot. I said, okay. I said, I tell you what, you trade me out some deer meat, and I'll be more than happy to make the food plot for you. I was like, deal. So he gave me some jerky, some deer Slim Jims, and a couple other odds and ends. But you know, I went out there, I bush hogged the thing. I'm talking, I took that bush hog and I was using like a dang chainsaw, just knocking out all kind of crazy junk. got everything cleared out, and then I went back in there with a tiller and a set of disc harrows. I mean, I had that place looking good. It was some prime soil. So I come back about 3 or 4 months later, or so after I did it. Lee is supposed to plant that. I said, oh, I said, you got your food plot? And they're like, no, actually, I'm going over to, I forget, like his uncle's house or some crap like that. And I looked at him like, really? You wasted all of my time, wear and tear on my equipment, and fuel for a few measly pieces of deer meat, and you ain't even using their area, I wasted my time preparing for you. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I'm starting to get to the point where I say to folks, if you ain't got it, I'm sorry, because there's just too many folks that take complete advantage of people with their equipment.
You buy out and let her take care of business, so I'll be back in just a second. KK4HXB, I'll be back in just a few minutes.
On your leg, girl. Don't let her.
KK4FTU.
Lost, Doctor. KK4RQO.
When you got a 130, 140-pound King Shepherd looking at you and I saying, I've got to go pee-pee, Daddy. You go let her pee-pee.
I told him, I said, don't feel it. Keep using your pants leg as a snack, because you're going to be wanting to chew on that leg.
But I tell you one funny thing that happened, and I'll retell this before you raise your head. I mean, Earl, when you get back in there. But originally, I'll tell you something funny that did come out of all of this. I had tobacco on that tractor one day, and the same boy rider was talking about he wanted to be a bull rider. I thought, okay. So I said, you want to be a bull rider, huh? He's like, yeah. I said, I might have just the thing for you. A little redneck engineering at its finest. So what did I do? I got the bucket set up. I extended the boom out. Set the stabilizers. Got him on the backhoe. He's holding on. And all I had to do was shake the stick and swing her side to side. And I think I threw him halfway across the yard. I said, Taylor, you ain't cut out to be no bull rider. You could even stay on that makeshift backhoe mechanical bull for all of 3 seconds.
I bet that was too bad you didn't have a camera set, a GoPro set up to film it. That'd been worth watching there.
You catch it on video. I don't remember if I posted it on YouTube or not. If I did, I'll look through and see if I did. I will I'll send you a link to the video. But yeah, it was pretty funny. He didn't last too long there. And of course, after I got down, he's grabbing his boy, like, ugh. I'm like, again, you ain't cut out to ride no bull. He's like, a bull's different than riding on a dang steelworm. And I'm like, not really. But either way, you're going to hurt at the end of the day.
He's ready. He doesn't realize there ain't no padding between him and the backbone of a bull, KK4FTU, and I bet he didn't get back on it either, did he?
Listen, he ain't even talked about wanting to ride bulls after that day either. And that another thing I used to do that I'd have fun with is with a couple of boys smoked all kind of different drugs, and one day, I don't know what they was on, but they wanted to act to see who was toughest. So I said, okay. So what did I do? Another redneck, interesting design of a deal. I basically took a strap and said, now y'all hold on to this. And I picked them rascals straight up in the air with the loader. And I left them hanging up. They're like, let us down. I'm like, y'all want that? You got to drop it. It's only measly 10 foot down.
We were saying too.
Yeah, but the best was when they got their younger brother. He was messing with my tractor, and I'd asked him to leave it alone. And I did the age-old scissor lift routine. He needed to get, I remember what it was. He threw the basketball and it got stuck right behind the hoop, right between the hoop and the backboard. He said, Cody, can you lift me up there to get it out of there? I said, yeah. I said, I'll do you one better than that. I said, get in the loader bucket. And so I drove him over there. And I made it a quick, I mean, I was made that sucker quick. I raised that thing all the way up and rolled the bucket backwards, turned the key off, and went back in the house. Left his butt out there for the whole time I was out there just to say, leave my tractor alone. He never touched that thing again after that day. He's like, hey, I come out, he was cussing me. He's like, I'm going to take a big old blankety blankety blank in your bucket. I was like, go ahead. I can spray it out with the water hose. You're sitting a big pile of chicken crap anyways.
Oh, I think I need to go sit down for a while, watch a movie, do something else, go back inside. Maybe when you cool off, I'll come back and think about letting you down, KK4FTU.
Actually, and what's funny, he didn't realize when I actually let him out of the buggy, he really did set some chicken crap, because I just cleaned the chicken out that probably a few hours before I went over there. So his back, his pants were kind of grayish white from the poop.
Phosphorus on it. Yep. That's, during the Civil War, they used to take chicken manure and put it in big iron wash pots and boil it down and scrape that ring off to make gunpowder, and it's better gunpowder than the Northerners had.
Mr. Roger, I did not know that, so just learned something else new today. Huge, yeah. Yep. But, I tell you, I've done a lot of stuff that basically told folks, don't mess with me. They learn real quick why. But some of them never learned, like at Arby's, when they'd ask me, well, what'd you do today, Cody? And I'd be honest with them. I'd tell them, say, oh, yeah, I pulled a cat and watched a cow chew its afterbirth like a big old piece of bubblegum. And, they'd be hitting the sink or the toilets faster than you. It was hilarious just watching them run to clean the system out after they got that picture in their head. I'd say, yeah, she chewed that sucker like a big old piece of gum there. And they just, yeah. It's a good thing they run to the toilet, because I would have had to clean the puke up off the floor if they didn't make it.
Mop bucket and a mop said, you made the mess, you clean it up. But back to the other, with the white ring around the wash pot, that's where the phrase shooting the crap came from.
Huh. You know, I often wonder where that come from. Nice.
I'm going to call it a night. I'm about to fall asleep here. And I've got to put my phone on charge so it don't die. So I'll say 73s. Good night. God bless. KK4HXB, KK4RQO, and I'll talk to you later. KK4FTU, clearing your final.
73 there, Richard Mercy. I figured you would have had drank you a couple of jugs of high test there to stay up all night with us, Mercy.
Get into that routine, because that's a hard one to break.
That's your Roger. Yeah. I've drank a fair share of coffee over the years, but I like some of these folks. I might drink a cup or two, maybe once or twice a year. I'm just not I like it, but I'm not going to start to drinking it every day, crap, because honestly, caffeine does the reverse to me. It puts me to sleep, where some folks it wires them, it just puts me to sleep.
It's at my age that it'll wire me. That's why I have to be careful if I drink a Dr. Pepper or something, or a Wild Cherry Pepsi at night. Used to, I could drink one and lay down and go to sleep, but anymore, I don't think it's possible. But I'm going to say good night, God bless, and talk to you later. KK4FTU clear.
And yeah, get you, cut you some Z's, and maybe we'll catch you back in here tomorrow night. KK4RQ, I'll be standing by for old KK4HXB when he gets through walking the dog and kicking the cat.
XB, I'm back.
Roger, Roger. Yeah, old Richard just jumped off of here. He started yawning and saw Z there, so he cleared out to go put her between the sheets. I was telling him a story. I may have already told you. I tell you the one about the time I was in the same boy's house when I put him on the backhoe. Boy, Roger. rider that wanted me to do the food plot for him. One year, he was, about a year or so ago, he was talking about he was going to get into professional rodeo, and I said, okay. And I said, well, I got something better than a mechanical bull for you. He's like, what's that? And at that time, I had the backhoe on the tractor where I was doing some work. I said, So I took the backhoe bucket, folded it all the way out, set the stick all the way out, and got them all set up. I said, now you hold on like you would on a bull, just don't go grab hold of them hydraulic lines, because one of them breaks. Two things will happen. One, I'm going to skin your hide. Two, you're probably going to have gangrene or die from a hydraulic fluid injection there, so just don't grab hold of that line. So I got him all set up there, and he was holding on, and I got on the tractor and throttled that thing wide open and started slinging them levers up there. I threw him off that thing so fast, he wasn't on there probably 3 seconds at that much. And he caught up, and I said, I said, I don't think professional bull riding is going to be your cup of tea. I haven't heard him talk about it since that day.
Used to, they'd get out there and ride, but now they got them padded up with helmets and all that stuff. If you've watched any of the professional bull riders today, these little old young guys on there, if they fell off and got stomped, it wouldn't hurt them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there. Takes all the fun out of it. I mean, shoot. It's like me and all these cuts and scrapes and scars I've got. If I had all the safety gear and crap, I wouldn't have no stories to tell when I'm on the radio. But, yeah. And there was another time a couple of same fellers, brothers, I don't know what they were smoking this particular day, but they were arguing amongst themselves about something. I said, I got a way to settle this. And they said, yeah, what's that? And I said, I had a toe strap that I used to pull junk out with. One of those that's got a loop on both ends. You can use it as a choker. And I put one end on one fork, one end on the other. I said, y'all grab a hold of this thing. And I says, and I raised them up in there. And they're like, oh, what the hell is that? I just kept raising them up. I said, now whoever drops off that thing first is the loser. And they're like, okay, let it down. I'm like, oh, come on, just let go. It's only a 10-foot drop.
Really, I've been kicked, bit, stomped, rolled over on. I've had them lay down on me, and you know, back when I was riding horses, you know, people don't know that the horse is unpredictable.
Yeah, that's why everybody who asks me when I say I live on a farm, well, you got horses? I'm like, no. Well, why not? I said, because I would rather have horsepower unless I have nothing else to fall back on. But I ain't got time to mess with them things. You can't eat them. And you can't... I don't know of anybody who's actually milked a horse. So I said, I'll just stick with livestock that I can actually eat if I can't do nothing else with them.
Now, back when we was raising cattle, we... You know, a cow, you can't keep a cow. I mean, you got to walk that fence line about every other day because a cow is hard to keep in a pasture.
I know what you mean there. Yep. Why, whenever you get out here, you'll see our front pastures, which we'll have to redo some of the fence, but we use that red brand fence, the kick-proof. Put it on the inside of the post there, tie it off, and then we got ruthless barbed wire, two strands on the top, and the bullpen, our bullpen will run, and the front breeding pen will run two strands of hot wire there with standoff. So, oh yeah, I know that. Neighbors at the end of the road, I've had to run there, had to help them round their cows up a few times, and goats, and I'm like, but, and to this day, they still stand there in disbelief that I'll walk out there and get their livestock to do whatever I want it to do. And they're like, they stopped asking me. They just don't want to do what I do. But the first few times they asked me, says, how do you do that? Like, I'll never forget Their youngest boy, Smith, and his cousin, Alex, was trying to get this horse out of the pen. I may have already told this story, but... And they run her ragged. And they were sweating and huffing and puffing. And I'm like, what's wrong, fellas? I just rode down there. We're trying to get that dang horse out. I'm looking, she's down there in the corner just shaking her head. I said, give me the lead. Give me the halter. I walk up, she's kind of standing there just looking. And I'm walking up slowly, and she's kind of stepped back. And I stand there, and it took me a little bit. But I walked up to her, started petting her, put the halter on her, put the lead on her, stood there, kept petting her. I said, come on, girl, let's go. Walked right out the gate and up to the barn.
Yeah, surprise you. I used to walk around with a pocket full of sugar cubes, and it'll surprise you what you can do with a sugar cube. And you probably know that too, don't you?
Yeah.
You bring an apple or a sugar cube out, they'll do just about anything you want them to do.
Know exactly what you're talking about there, for sure. Oh, yeah. That was funny. That was a good time, though, back in those days. I'd sit back and say, I may not ride, but I probably know more about these horses than y'all do. So, oh, good times.
Yeah, that's like having a 17 and a half pound thoroughbred breeding. Oh, God, it's funny. I was holding an old mare by the halter, and she, I thought she broke my nose. She raised up when that big mare mounted her, and she raised that head up and hit me twice. I mean, you're talking about hurting.
I can only imagine.
Two or three little coat and a couple of fillies being born. I was right there when they was being thrown out, and, you know, it's kind of nice, you know, to be able to see something like that. Average people don't see nothing like that.
I tell the folks the story that most of them go looking for the nearest trash can or something to go throw up in, and I'm like, y'all don't know what you're missing. That's better than anything you watch on the boob tube.
There was born between 5 and 7 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I lived in, we had a couple of the stalls, we converted it over to like a little apartment. And I lived in a little apartment or stayed there during the time that they was being born or foaled. And every one of them was between 5 and 7 o'clock in the morning. Never could figure that out.
Yeah, that's just one of them things. I'm like, huh. These darn chickens, I can go in and pick up the eggs and then, you know, go in the morning and pick them up and have like 15 in the morning or so. And then go in the afternoon and still end up with about 45 of them. And I think to myself, I know I cleaned that egg box out. So I tell my mom now, I says, let's. Y'all ain't picking them all up out of the boxes when you go. I don't know how I'm getting 45 eggs out of 38 chickens.
Chicken lays, what, one egg a day?
Roger. Takes about 17 hours of daylight.
That depends, you know. Most people says, well, you got to have a rooster before the hens will lay, but that's not so. They'll lay, but you need a rooster to fertilize them.
Need a rooster to fertilize them and keep... In theory, keep predators away from them. The reason why I say in theory is because I've lost more hens than I care to keep up with, and the stupid rooster is still out there, and one day something finally got him.
These are double yolk eggs.
I actually don't know if there's a specific breed that lays double yolk or they're, I've heard of many a tales. Some folks says, turn the lights on early in the morning, they'll lay a double yoker. I've heard a lot of different things, but there's just some chickens that will. But I don't know of any breed that does it consistently. If you find out of what breed, let me know, because that might be something I might look into for some folks there.
I hope to get my chicken pen up here probably in the next couple weeks. Get ready, because, you know, they start, you know, about April, May, that's about the time to start putting your chickens in the coop.
Yeah, Roger, roger. Yeah, I got all mine done up back, back in March, February, March, somewhere in that area. They started laying at the end of March, and now they're spitting them out like a full auto Nerf gun or something.
I'm going to can me or some pickle me some eggs. They ain't nothing like a good pickled egg.
Eat one for me there. I don't touch eggs there because of my experience at Taco Bell. I just can't stomach them there. I was telling a fella over on another repeater, I said, yeah, I don't eat eggs. Like, hey, explain why I ain't got so many. I'm like, no, I just don't eat them because I worked at Taco Bell and them nasty eggs they had over there. Anytime I taste an egg, it kind of reactivates that gag reflex I'd have every time I walk into the dish pit.
Oh, roger that. You know, most people don't realize if you take and wash an egg, then it won't keep unless you refrigerate it. But if you take and leave them dirty, they'll last for weeks.
Roger, roger on that. Yeah. Yeah, I knew that from a while back. And I tell you something else that was interesting. I'm trying to remember the exact deal here. I'll have to ask my mom to make sure I got this correct, but I think she said, if I remember, something like, if you put an egg in water, if you want to tell how old it is, if you put egg in water and it stands up on end, It's old. I think that's what it was. I don't remember for sure. I'll have to ask her to confirm that, but yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah. If it floats, I think it's an older egg. But if it sinks, it's a fresher egg. You got a point there. I'd have to do some research.
And I tell you something else. When I took my candlers, me and my mom went for our candlers class back last year before last, whenever it was. Seller was teaching class. She threw that out there. He's like, well, I did not know that. And I'm like, that's the fact that Chuck on my kid. Yeah, there's probably a lot of stuff about these eggs you don't know. And you're supposed to know because you're department of ag. So, yeah, that was kind of funny. KK4RQO for those out yonder in radio land who like to hear it.
KK4HXB, yeah, we used to take and put false eggs in their laying box, you know, and they'd give them incentive to lay more eggs and they'd set.
That's a good idea. I tell you something, too, if you really want to, if I had enough of them, I tell you, them same boys, I remember this is another thing that drove me up a wall. They called me over to help them one day, and I ended up getting covered. They just started egging me. So actually, I did that twice. One time, they did it from behind a rock on the road, and the other time they did it, they called me over to the house and they ambushed me on the other side of the house. Well, if I had a whole yard full of guineas and had a whole carton or two full of guinea eggs, oh, they would be having some good welts on them, because I'd be putting them suckers in slingshot and slingshotting them at them.
Roger, let me ask you a question. What's when I build my chicken coop, my chicken wire that I need to get, can you get it in like 4 or 5 feet, 6 feet sections in a row? You know, because I bought some to go around the garden last year and it was like 3 foot.
Well, good question. I know we did the, we're using the Red Brand, small wire, like kick-proof fence for the yard. I'll ask Dad about what that wire was we got for the actual house. It's like a fence wire. It's not like a chicken wire. It's like a fence wire, and it came in a roll, but I don't remember how many feet or nothing about it because it's been so long since we put it up. But I'll ask him tomorrow. I'll get some answers for you on that.
No, roger that. Yeah, I got some a roll of fence maybe I need to take and get some chicken wire and put it around the bottom, you know, and put it across the top to keep the varmints out, you know, the hawks and whatever. And I need to get started on this here pretty quick.
If you want something to be a varmint deterrent, this is what I would do. This is what we should have done with our house to begin with, but we didn't because it was just, you know, back in the day, didn't think about it. But I dig me down a good footer, do a concrete footer, put your post in, and then put some tin around the bottom, put your wire on the top, and of course go up there with your tin and the roof, and call it done. And then, of course, run your wire and stuff on the outside from the run around the yard. But yeah, the chicken house, I'd do a concrete footer on the bottom, your poles, tin, wire, tin, and then the roof. That's basically what I'd do on my design if I had it to do all over again, and that'll ensure that rodents can't dig underneath, and they can't get in through the top or the front.
No, roger that. Yeah, what I'll do, I'll get a buddy of mine to bring his ditch witch over, and I'll dig me a 2-3 foot trench around it and do my wire so, you know, they won't be able to get in.
Yep. But I've had an issue with varmints getting in, but I have had a lot of spots where the poops broke down over the years, and when I'd go to clean the house out, I'd start seeing daylight through the bottom of the chicken house. So I'm like, yeah, we should have at least done a footer there or something. So, but yeah, just keep me posted on how that comes along there for sure. Yep.
Yeah, I'll do a video and send it to you. Get my buddy over here with his ditch witch and go down 2-3 foot and then put my post in and put my fence, do my fence down on the lower, and then come back with some chicken wire about 3 foot up and then do the rest where the birds can't get in.
Roger. Now keep in mind, you may or may not know this, when winter time comes around, you're going to want to put a wrap around the house, so keep that in mind. Like you do that house wrap like you get over at Lowe's. That's what I use every year. I just run that around the, like that top run of wire. I was just telling them, I said, do the tin, then the wire, then the tin. I run the wrap around the wire around about maybe fall, middle of fall, and then leave it up through winter till spring. That keeps the wind off of.
Yeah, roger that. I was over to a buddy of mine's back a few months ago, and we sat out there at his little man cave, and he had a shotgun set beside him, and he had probably 50 or 100 chickens and pens around. And I said, what you doing with a shotgun there? He says, that keeps the hawks. He says, when those chickens run, there's a hawk around. And about that time, all them chickens started running. And needless to say, one came down from the sky and hit one of those chickens. And I'm going to tell you what, it was interesting. He taught me something.
Roger, did you knock that sucker out of the sky?
No, he got him on the ground. The hawk had one of his chickens, one of his fighting chickens in his mouth, and he shot the hawk and hit the chicken, but the chicken lived. I asked him about it a day or two later. He said, yeah, it just a couple of pellets hit him.
Roger on that. You fire. Oh, mercy. Yeah, but, well, let's see here. I guess I'm going to go ahead and sign with you and hit the sack myself there so I can get up in the morning and do this whole dog and pony show all over again. But, yeah, we got to get in here more often. I tell you, I was like, I hope old Earl ain't been trapped on some cruise ship out in the ocean somewhere with all this crap going around. There ain't heard nothing from you in a few months.
Oh, roger that, yeah. I think our cruising days are over for the time being. But, yeah, tell Mama Son that I'm going to get her air fixed on her car for her, and you just give me give me a few days notice, let me know so I can get everything together. And when you leave here, I'm gonna make you sign a contract, so you know, if you catch cold or pneumonia or something, then you can't come back because you caught cold from that cold air in that car.
Roger, on that. Oh, mercy. Well, even if I did, I wouldn't come after you because you're like a brother there to me, and sure enough. But all right, 7-3 is my friend, and yeah, I'll let her know tomorrow. And once they get the detail, yeah, we, just let me, I tell them, say, you know, if you can go out a week or so after whatever date, and I'll let you know what they say, and then we'll get this dog and pony show rolling, because I know she will really appreciate it. You know how them older women with the hormones are when it comes to the heat.
Yeah, Roger, that's like his old timer lived up the mountains. He said, well, you know, I ain't never been to the beach, and he says, I think I'm going to go to the beach. So he starts walking, and he sticks his thumb out, and this guy in this big old Cadillac picks him up. He said he gets in the Cadillac and the air conditioner's going. He ain't never had air conditioner, and he rides down the road about 10 miles. He says, I think you can let me out here. He's done got cold. I think I'm going to go home and butcher me a hog.
Roger, Roger, all that. But, alrighty. Well, I'll catch you later, my friend. I'll shoot you a text or give you a holler once I get the, what they want to do there, and I'll let you know.
Roger that. KK4HXB, 7-3s, and holler at me tomorrow, either on the air or on the telly.
Sure will do. Hey, if you can, before I let you go, can you hit the 330 over in Tacoma?
If you're talking about the repeater?
7330, I run the net for them folks over there. I was going to say, if you can hit it, check in tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
All right, text me the frequency. What you guys doing on 610? How come you ain't on 130?
Well, Richard had a lot of bacon frying in his, when he was transmitting, and I went to say something, and it just went, took a dump on us. It just shut down on us or something. I don't know what's up there. And I was hearing another repeater on the same frequency do its usual CWID, but couldn't get the thing to key up. I'm like, huh. So we just came down here and he cleared up, and I thought, we'll just sit down here then.
Yeah, Roger that. Go to 130 and let's see if we can modulate.
Sure, KK4RQ, QSY.